Only one cigarette, Chesterfield, gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
Oh, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you smoke them.
Collins to the mayors and Bing's guests, Bert Wheeler and Walter O'Keefe. And now, folks, we bring you a man who today is celebrating his birthday, Bing Crosby.
Hey, you're right. Yeah, no kidding, this is my birthday.
And a happy birthday. Well, Bing, what's new?
Well, not me, I can...
We all feel a little older on our birthday.
Oh, I feel great. Feel fine. But this particular birthday presents something of a problem to me. In fact, it's almost an ordeal.
Ordeal? What
do you
mean?
Yeah, well, Dixie's over in Europe, you know, so the four kids. They baked me a cake this year.
Oh, how sweet.
Isn't that nice?
What kind of cake the boys bake?
Chocolate nuts. Mm-hmm. And the way it hefts, I think there's a few bolts in it, too. A silken and wrench may be concealed under the top.
Well, after all, the kids met well.
Of course they did. I appreciate it, but I do wish they'd taken the trouble to learn how to make a frosting.
What?
Well, my birthday cake's the only one ever made that has mayonnaise rosettes on it. Just a little rough.
Look, if you survive the cake, are you going to the Kentucky Derby in Louisville on Saturday?
Ken, I just can't make the Kentucky Derby. I sure regret that I can't be there with Colonel Bill Corum and all those nice people down Churchill Downs.
Say, Bing, I wonder which horse will win the Derby this year.
What did you say?
You
wonder which horse can.
Yes, I wonder which horse will win.
Thinking like that that makes horse players into bridge jumpers. wonder indeed. Be sure. Be confident.
Oh, I suppose you're absolutely sure you have the winner of the Derby.
Certainly. I have a system.
Oh, you and your tea leaves.
No, not using the tea leaves routine.
Changing.
No.
What system are you using?
Just hunches and bunches. Strictly on hunch. Hunch betting this year. I'll bet you anything I got the winner of the Derby.
How do you figure?
Well, here's how I figure. Today's my birthday, right?
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely sure that next Saturday, Big Stretch will win the Kentucky Derby.
Well, why are you so sure of Big Stretch?
Because Bob Hope sent me a girdle for my birthday present. A gold gossard, I think. Yes. And that hunch is as good as gold, believe me.
Bang, you're being silly. Pull yourself together.
I'm pulled together. I'm wearing the good one. Now, let's forget this happy horse talk here and get this thing. This thing's going indefinitely. I've got to do an opening number here sometime. And I've got a clever little number here called Sparrow in the Treetop.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late. Don't look at me, sweetheart, with scorn in your eyes. I've been out all night, I don't tell you no lies. Stopped in one place, I heard him singing a song. A lonely sparrow, I started singing along. I just was singing,
sparrow in the treetop,
all night, sitting in the tavern.
Sparrow in the treetop,
all night, sitting in the tavern.
going on because it's too darn late.
Bringing boys and girls, right about
here. Isn't that a bubbly little rustic roundelay, Ken? Almost to the point of, I might say, evanescence.
Well, that being the case, Bing, I suggest we bounce right to the business at hand, selling milder Chesterfields.
Friends, there's nothing like them. Only Chesterfield gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
1,539 tobacco growers say Chesterfields are milder, and they show you how to prove it. They say Chesterfield's right combination of the world's best tobaccos smells milder and smokes milder.
And here's what modern science and research says, what the cigarette taste panel says. There's only one cigarette which leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That cigarette is Chesterfield.
Now, every smoker wants a milder cigarette, and every smoker after smoking wants no unpleasant aftertaste. Only Chesterfield gives you both.
That's more for your money than any other. That's more for your money than any other cigarette can give you.
Prove it yourself for the price of one pack. Yes, that's all it comes down to, just the price of a pack of Chesterfields to prove Chesterfield is the best cigarette for you.
Folks, by way of an introduction, I'd like to announce that Mr. Bert Wheeler, a very dear friend of mine, has dropped in to pay us a visit tonight. You know, I've long admired and followed Mr. Wheeler's career in every medium of the theatrical profession. In vaudeville, musical comedy, pictures, radio, and during the past year, he's been leading the television league in guest appearances. Through the years, Bert has won the affection of everyone in show business. And as for myself, I love the little man. I really do. Here he is now, Bert Wheeler.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Bing, for that flattering introduction.
Oh, Bert, there's no flattery intended there at all. I just gave you the acknowledgement, a man, of your talent and your background deserves.
Look, Bing, you don't have to kid me with that big buildup. This program has important guest stars, and you're just trying to explain me to your sponsor.
Get out. My sponsor's a dignified and cultured gentleman. He wouldn't listen to this clam bake, I think.
How do you know he doesn't listen?
Well, we're still working, ain't we?
Yeah. Gee, I wish I could get a sucker. Oh, well, I need a sponsor. Right?
You don't want radio, Bert. Look at all those TV shows you've been doing. Every time I turn my dial, you come on.
Then why do you keep turning your dial? Are you trying to lose me?
No, I enjoy watching you. May I tell you something, Bert? You never look better. You look great.
No kidding. Well, Bing, you're the guy who's really holding up.
Not too saggy?
No, not a bit. You know, when I first met you, you were just a kid out of college. You haven't changed a bit.
Haven't?
Nope. You've still got that same collegiate look about you. I noticed you've even gone back to a crew haircut.
Well, thank you.
At least it looks like a crew cut. You know, from down here where I am.
Well, don't nobody come up here. You know, Bert, I can still remember the vaudeville act you used to do. Bert and Betty Wheeler.
Was that her name, Betty?
Yes. Funny, Bert and Betty. B&B, they used to call you. I'll never forget it. You used to lie across the footlights. You had a routine where you lie across the footlights and you used to tell the audience how to make home brew.
Yeah, that's right, Ben.
Is that just your act, Bert? I often wondered, did you really know how to make home brew?
Why do you think I had to lie across the footlights?
Remember those jokes you used to tell, Bert?
Yeah, and think since I've been listening to your program, I notice you remember them, too.
Me?
Yes, in fact, that's what I came here to see you about tonight.
What do you mean?
Well, I heard one of your programs some time ago, and you stole a whole routine of mine.
I did? But, Bert, what's the beef? What do you expect me to do?
Well, don't you think we ought to, you know, work out some kind of a settlement? A financial adjustment of, you know, a monetary consideration?
You mean give you money?
Please, Bing, let's keep this thing on a high level.
I'm going to get a lot of money. Well, Bert, I'd be very happy to straighten this matter out. That is, if you're sure that that is your joke.
Of course it is. I've been telling that joke for over 20 years.
20 years? Well, Bert, then it's not your joke.
What do you mean?
Public domain. Belongs to everybody.
How do you like this guy? For years he's been doing, going around lifting people and pushing them around, and his brother Everett's been taking the rap for it.
You sure re-edited that line. Let me see that.
It's a good thing we're on paper. I'd go back and burlesque after this one.
I'd like to join you.
Honestly, I never thought you'd turn me down.
It's a matter of principle, Bert. If the joke isn't yours legally, on what grounds would you expect me to give you money?
Well, I don't know much about law.
Well, I was counting on that.
But I did bring someone with me who does. What? This man is a quiz master on the Campbell Soup Show, Double or Nothing. He's a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, and he's a comedian in his own right.
Man's name must be Walter O'Keefe.
Yep, and when he gets through with you, you'll think his name is Walter O'Keefe, Robert. He's straightening you up. I'm going outside and get him.
Who needs him? This is building, isn't it?
Oh, Walter.
Yes, sir.
Walter. Look, I was just talking with his nibs, and I think he's going to be a pretty tough cookie.
Look, I won't have any trouble with him, Bert. Through the years, I've gotten to know the man and understand him. You see, Bing has one little idiosyncrasy, the characteristic of people who deal in high finance and astronomical figures.
What's that?
He's cheap.
He is?
But only when it comes to money.
Gee, he never used to be like that.
Well, he's got some now. But don't worry, Bert. I know how to get around him. I can handle Crosby. I know the law. I'll give him a fast nolly posse. I'll give him a hot little habeas corpus, and we'll get the dough. I'll go in there and give him the big hello, a little sweet talk, and from then on, Bert, really, he's putty in my hand.
Good luck, Walter.
Walter! Well, how are you?
Oh, Bing, a welcome like that, you make me as happy as a mosquito in a nudist camp.
What's on your mind, Walter?
Bing, I've never seen you looking better. How is the one and only Bing the greatest of them all?
What's on your mind, Walter?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about Bert Wheeler.
Now, if it's about that stale joke that he wants some dough for, aloha.
What's that?
You want it on the steel guitar or just...
Well, if that's the way you're going to act...
Now, Wally, don't get so sentimental. This cuts me deeply. Really, it does. I'm surprised and amazed at you taking sides with Wheeler against me.
Look, Burt Wheeler has been a friend of mine for many years.
Well, we've been pals too, Wally. Besides, when things were tough and breaks were against you, who did you always depend on to get you back on your feet? Me or Wheeler?
Me. And there were times when even I lost interest.
Well, we all had tough sledding in those days. Remember when we first came to California, Wallace?
Yeah.
Did you go back there flying? Do you remember? Two of us living together in a little hall bedroom.
Bing, you remember the cute little brunette, the petite bonbon?
The bonbon.
Who lived across the hall from us.
Mm-hmm. Remember the way she used to write notes to you, Wallace? She used to leave them in her milk bottle.
Yeah.
Walter, what did she say in those notes?
Stop stealing my milk.
Oh. Memories.
Now, Bing, about this money for Wheeler.
Wallace, it baffles me. Honestly, but why are you so anxious about Wheeler?
Listen to you. What's your cut?
The usual legal fee, 33 1/3%. Wallace, I could make a deal with you, but I realize you're a man of high integrity. Look, I'm willing to settle this thing for $500 right now if you can convince Wheeler that he's not entitled to anything.
Oh, Bing, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Do you realize you're suggesting that I double-cross a friend, resort to filthy hugger-mugger, connive and cheat a pal of many years standing who's placed his trust in me?
Hello, fella.
Oh, hello, Bert. I'm glad you're here.
How's it going, pal?
Look, Bert, I talked your case over with Bing from the legal angle, from the personal angle, from the moral angle, the gentleman's angle, the code of honor. I've gone into the whole thing thoroughly, and as your lawyer, I have this to say.
What is it, Walter?
Kid, you haven't got a leg to stand on.
I haven't?
Nope.
That doesn't sound right to me. Mr. O'Keefe, are you sure you two college boys didn't cook up something between you?
Why, Bert, do you think I'd double-cross you? Stoop to chicanery?
You're darn right you would. You know, you're an awful snake, O'Keefe.
Wait, fellas. This is silly. Three buddies like us, pals for years, and a little beef over just a little money. After all, money isn't everything.
Nowadays, it isn't anything.
You could be right. Right as rain, amigo. You know, I know a counterfeiter, and this poor guy is losing 50 cents on every dollar he puts out.
Why doesn't he quit?
He's just operating now for goodwill. He wants to keep his customers in case money ever comes back.
You know, while we're on this subject of currency, lads, there's a nice song. I don't know if you fellas have heard it or not, but Merman's got a record on it with Ray Bolger. Things that hark right back to the halcyon days when a nickel was quite a hunk of dough.
Oh, Bing, you mean Once Upon a Nickel? Mm-hmm. That's a good tune.
Maybe we could get off with that. All right. I'd like to get off with something.
Bert, I promise you we'll get everything straightened out here. In the meanwhile, why don't the three of us lads just kind of raise our voices? You get that happy tenor of yours, Walter, to lead. I'll take the baritone, and we'll sing a little paean here, a little praise of the nickel. Good old days, the nickel it used to be. Are you in here?
I'm
well,
for it.
Yeah. Once upon a nickel, you could really buy a take a soap, a good cigar, a piece of apple pie, a subway ride, an ice cream cone. For a nickel, you could phone. Well, those were the good old days, our Mr. Wheeler.
And once upon a nickel, you could buy a lot. A loaf of bread, a bowl of soup, a hot dog really hot. A glass of beer, a can of beans, a nickel for Smoke Magazine. Those were the good old days.
Yes, yes. What happened to that nickel cup of coffee?
Number of cars.
The 5 cent bag of peanuts at the game.
Give a nickel now to sit here.
Because I have no doubt that the nickel is dying out. I'm gonna put one in a special frame.
That's like Gainsborough's blue book,
the crowd.
Once upon a nickel, we could have it to time. But now to buy a nickel's worth, you need more than a dime. The day may come, but who knows when, they'll sensibly revive again the nickel and those good old days.
Once upon a nickel, you were in the kit. You do the town and throw around those great big nickel tins.
Diamonds, Jim Wheeler. Those silver coins, when they were tossed, could get a gal's kid brother along.
Oh, but those were the good old days.
Oh. Once upon a nickel, life was very nice. The nickel buck, the ice man up with quite a chunk of ice.
And those suppers at the automat.
Oh,
I laughed when they stole my house.
The good old days.
Now the mighty buffalo upon the nickel. I get the pretty part. He's so ashamed that he has to hide his face.
Cause the nickel shrunk so small, there's no room for him there at all.
You know they're putting Mickey Mouse on in his place?
Harbor the Norma.
When you earn nickels, you could just relax, loaded.
But out of every nickel now, 4 pennies go for tax.
Ho! If you've got 50 cents, and a nickel beer, a toast, my friend, a nickel, and a good old day.
Bring back the buffalo, the nickel, and the good old day.
Did you hear Bob Hope's show last night?
Hung on every word of it. Wouldn't miss a syllable.
Right.
That's fair. Old Nozzle Nostril did his broadcast from our Chesterfield factory down in Durham, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he brave to go down there again? Especially at tobacco planting time after what happened last spring.
Last spring? What happened?
Didn't you hear?
No.
Sound like Frank Gallup, don't I?
Mm-hmm. As you have.
Yes. Well, last year, Ken,
yes,
a tobacco grower took one look at Hope's nose, and before he could say anything, he was hitched to a mule, and he plowed up 8.5 acres of the South Quarter.
Yes. Well, one thing, you don't need a nose like Bob Hope's to make a Chesterfield mildness.
No, indeed. All you have to do is open a package of Chesterfields, take a whiff of that famous milder aroma, and because tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder, that aroma is your guarantee that Chesterfield smoke milder.
Or, to put it musically...
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Get Chesterfield, the minor, minor, not so aftertaste.
So, ho, open the top and give them a sniff.
Then you smoke them.
Isn't that a catchy little jingle?
Oh, yes. And talking about catchy things, Bing, our offer of the 14th edition of Tobaccoland USA is being snapped up by smokers everywhere.
And why not? It's full of important info, so important that every smoker really ought to read it.
Folks, to get your copy, put your name and address on a penny postcard and send it to Chesterfield, Box 21, New York City. That's Chesterfield, Box 21, New York City.
When the sun in the morning peeps over the hill and kisses the roses round my windowsill, then my heart fills with gladness when I hear the trill of the birds in the treetops on Mockingbird Hill. Tra-la-la, tra-dee-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird trill. Tra-la-la, tra-dee-dee-dee, there's peace and goodwill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. Got a three-cornered plow and an acre to till, and a mule that I bought for a $10 bill. There's a tumble-down shack and a rusty old mill, but it's my home sweet home up on Mockingbird Hill. When it's late in the evening, I climb up the hill and survey all my kingdoms mockingbird shrill. All alas, little leaders, peace and goodwill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. On Mockingbird Hill.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. And that just about wraps up this little tortilla for tonight. Guess that'll get us off, all right?
I'd like to get off of something.
Oh, Bertie, don't be so bitter.
Of course not, Bert. Be a philosopher. Let a smile be your umbrella.
Certainly. Let it rain, let it pour, but look up, smile. Let that be your umbrella.
Sure.
Now these guys want to drown me.
No, seriously, Bert, you didn't think for 1 minute, did you? Honestly, that I would get you out of that material, out of that...
Oh, of course, I didn't think about it for a minute.
That kid, your worries are over. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm sending you a check for the full amount of that material.
Well, why don't you pay me right now?
Oh, I've got to reach in my pocket and everything. It's very enervating. I'll send the check to you.
Say, just a minute. What happened to the Matthews? What about me?
What about you?
Yeah, what about my end?
Well, I'll tell you. Say that line once more, because I don't want to lose it.
What about me? What about my end?
I'm going to kick it for you.
Before the little man assaults me, Bing, I think I better ask you, who's going to be with you next week?
Next week, Walter, our guest will be Mr. Fred Astaire.
Oh, very stylish, fancy.
Mm-hmm. Also, Miss Teresa Brewer will be with us. The recording lassie. Well, laddies, let's amble across the street, shall we, to the Brown Derby?
Just before you amble, Bing, I think we should remind the folks that Mother's Day is coming up soon. Mother's everybody's best girl, so she naturally deserves the best. That's Chesterfield in the wonderful new gift carton.
Yes, it's all prettied up for Mom, and ready for you to write your own greetings. You'll find it at your favorite Chesterfield dealer. Remember, for Mother's Day, and any day, it's Chesterfield. See you next week for Chesterfield, folks. The best cigarette for you to smoke.
Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Mr. Fred Astaire and Miss Teresa Brewer. Ladies and gentlemen, support United Cerebral Palsy. Give them the treatment centers, the rehabilitation schools, the doctors, nurses, physical therapists they need. Dig way down deep and send a generous contribution to United Cerebral Palsy Association, 50 West 57th Street, New York.